The ash that falls is a sign from him. It represents the fall of the empire, the ashes of tyranny. From those ashes we will make a new nation, one ruled by Scar."
Spook edged forward, putting down the top of his hood and feeling before himself with his hands as if he were blind. He carried his dueling cane across his back in a strap obscured by the folds of his baggy gray shirt. He was more than capable when it came to moving through crowds. While Vin had always worked hard to remain obscure and unseen, Spook had managed to achieve both things without ever trying. In fact, he'd often tried the opposite. He'd dreamed of being a man like Kelsier, for even before he'd met the survivor, Spook had heard stories of the man. The greatest Ska thief of their time, a man bold enough to try to rob the Lord Ruler himself. And yet, try as he might, Spook had never been able to distinguish himself. It was just too easy to ignore yet another ash-faced boy, especially if you couldn't understand his thick Eastern slang. It had taken actually meeting Kelsier, seeing how he could move people by talking, to finally convince Spook to abandon his dialect. That was when Spook had begun to understand that there was a power in words. Spook suddenly moved his way toward the front of the crowd watching the citizen. He got jostled and shoved, but nobody cried out against him. A blind man who had gotten caught up in the press of people was easy to ignore, and what was ignored could get where it wasn't supposed to. With some careful positioning, Spook soon placed himself at the front of the group, barely an arm's length from the citizen. The man smelled of smoke.
"I understand, good woman," the citizen was saying as he held an elderly woman's hand. "But your grandson is needed where he is, working the fields. Without him and his kind, we would not be able to eat. A nation ruled by Ska also has to be one worked by Ska."
"But can't he come back, even for a bit?" the woman asked.
"In time, good woman," the citizen said. "In time."
His crimson uniform made him the only splash of color on the street, and Spook found himself staring. He tore his eyes away and continued to maneuver, for the citizen was not his goal. Beldra stood to the side, as usual, always watching but never interacting. The citizen was so dynamic that his sister was easily forgotten. Spook understood that feeling quite well. He let a soldier jostle him, pushing him out of the citizen's way. That jostle placed Spook right next to Beldra. She smelt just faintly of perfume. "I thought that was supposed to be forbidden. What would Kelsier have done? He'd have attacked, perhaps, killing the citizen. Or he'd have moved against the man in another way. Kelsier wouldn't have let such terrible things happen. He'd have acted. Perhaps he would have tried to make an ally out of someone trusted by the citizen?" Spook felt his heart, always so much louder to him now, beat faster. The crowd began to move again, and he let himself get shoved up against Beldra. The guards weren't watching, they were focused on the citizen, keeping him safe with so many random elements around.
"Your brother," Spook whispered in her ear. "You approve of his murders?"
She spun, and he noticed for the first time that her eyes were green. He stood in the crowd, letting it shove him away as she searched, trying to figure out who had spoken. The crowd, following her brother, carried her from Spook. Spook waited, being jostled in the sea of elbows for a short time. Then he began to maneuver again, pushing through the people with subtle care until he was again beside Beldra.
"You think this is any different from what the Lord Ruler did?" he whispered. "I once saw him gather up random people and execute them in the Lúthedain city square."
She spun again, finally identifying Spook among the moving crowd. He stood still, meeting her eyes despite the blindfold. People moved between them, and she was carried away. Her mouth moved. Only someone with the enhanced senses of Tin could have seen with enough detail to make out the words on her lips. "Who are you?" He pushed his way through the crowd one more time. The citizen was apparently planning to make a big speech up ahead, capitalizing on the increasingly large crowd. People were bunching up around the podium that lay in the middle of the market. It was getting more difficult to move through them. Spook reached her, but felt the crowd pulling him away again. So he reached between a pair of bodies and grabbed her hand, pulling her wrist as he moved with the surgings of the crowd's motion. She spun, of course, but she didn't cry out. The crowd moved around them, and she turned to meet his blindfolded eyes through the throng. "Who are you?" Beldra asked again. Though he was close enough to have heard her had she spoken, no sound escaped her lips. She just mouthed the words. Behind her, on the podium, her brother began to preach.
"I'm the man who will kill your brother," Spook said softly.
Again, he had expected a reaction from her, a scream perhaps, an accusation. His actions here had been impulsive, born from his frustration at not being able to help the people who were executed. If she did scream, he realized, it could bring his death. Yet she remained silent, flakes of ash falling between them. "Others have said that same thing," she mouthed.
"Others were not me."
"And who are you?" she asked a third time.
"The companion of a god, a man who can see whispers and feel screams.
A man who thinks he knows better for this people than their own chosen ruler," she mouthed. "There will always be dissenters who balk at what must be done." He still held her hand. He gripped it tightly, pulling her close. The crowd crowded the podium, leaving her and Spook at their rear, like shells left on a beach by the retreating waves.
"I knew the survivor, Beldra," he whispered harshly. "He named me, called me friend. What you've done in this city would horrify him, and I'm not going to let your brother continue to pervert Kelsier's legacy. Bring him warning if you must. Tell Quellian that I'm coming for him."
The citizen had stopped speaking. Spook glanced up, looking toward the lectern. Quellian stood upon it, looking out over his crowd of followers. Looking at Spook and Beldra, standing together at the back of the crowd. Spook hadn't realized how exposed they had become.
"You there," the citizen cried. "What are you doing with my sister?"